Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, savages, to The Savage Truth. You know who I am. I'm Cicely. So glad to have you back with me, joining me. If you're new to the channel, welcome. Thank you for stopping by. Bring someone in next time you tune in. For those of you who are loyalists, those of you who are returning, thank you so very much. You know I appreciate you. Could not do that or do this without you. Thank you for spending your precious time. But whether you're new or returning, my ask is always the same, and that is what? You know what it is. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this week's haps. Now, before we get into this, I really do want to take some time here to just take a little moment to acknowledge those who have lost and are suffering in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene and, of course, the impact of Hurricane Milton as well. My condolences, my true heartfelt condolences to those of you who have lost loved ones, you've lost friends, you've lost businesses and properties, entire communities have been devastated. My heartfelt condolences and my thoughts and prayers are with you. We can recover physical things, right? Property, cars, homes, even though that's really tough to lose, those things can be recovered, but loved ones are altogether something different. It's in these times, times just like these, that I stress and emphasize the ineptitude of the Biden-Harris administration and their tone deafness and their disconnection to the American people. Because of their indifference and this callous regard for those who have lost and suffered and are still suffering, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I'm going to get into that in a little bit after I bring up Kamala Harris's attempt at an interview tour. Okay, so I know you all have heard about this. I might be just slightly late in getting into it, but I had to talk about it. Absolutely nothing screams serious political leadership, and I say that tongue in cheek, of course, like President, Vice President Kamala Harris's and her interview tour, right? Kamala Harris making an appearance on the Call Her Daddy podcast. I mean, why bother discussing pressing issues facing our nation when you can sit down and chat about dating advice and the latest TikTok trends, right? It's truly remarkable how far we've come. Here we are facing challenges like inflation, a border crisis, and internal tensions, and the second in command of the country decides her time is best spent in a dimly lit studio talking about girl power and relationship drama. A dimly lit studio, unlike my beautiful office, might I compare. Okay, thank you, Rick. But seriously, because when I think of tackling the complexities of geopolitics, I definitely think of late night raunchy, lewd podcast banter. I mean, don't you? And let's not forget the message this sends, folks. This is a serious thing. Hey, young voters, who needs these substantial policy discussions when you can get life tips from the VP on social media, on clicks and clickbait? And this is unbelievable. Let's just trivialize the office further and make politics a game of catchphrases and viral moments, because clearly we've all been craving more of that. So kudos to Kamala Harris for elevating political discourse. I can't wait for the next episode where she gives us her thoughts on the best way to swipe right while simultaneously managing a national crisis. What an inspiring role model she is. I mean, for socialists, of course. So while cadaver dogs were still discovering lost loved ones after the destructive Hurricane Helene literally destroyed homes and businesses and communities in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, and hundreds of thousands of people went without essentials like water or clean water and food and shelter and lost loved ones, friends and family members as well. And now, reported as of today, authorities in North Carolina have confirmed at least 93 storm-related fatalities from Hurricane Helene, but still cannot account for the number of those who remain missing or unaccounted for. And let's not forget about Hurricane Milton, which has also carved a deadly path through Florida, leaving millions without power and tens of thousands of electricity customers in the region. They remain without power, and some people, including residents of Asheville, still lack running water. But before Milton hit and Helene wrecked the communities, Joe Biden was where? Where could you find Joe Biden? Well, he was on the beach, sunning his sack on the beach in Delaware. Alejandro Mayorkas was out buying high-end underwear, okay? And Kamala Harris decided to appear on the raunchy, trashy podcast as hosted by Alex Cooper, which is called Her Daddy. Now, this is a podcast that does have a huge, massive following. We got to get everyone to know this. This is true. She has a massive following. Particularly loyal are the Gen Z female listeners who have made the podcast the second most popular podcast behind Joe Rogan. Now, Joe Rogan's podcast has plenty of guests who join him to discuss politics. They discuss business and comedy and theater and finances, social challenges, outer space, books, literature, etc. And it's really compelling to hear. He has some really smart, insightful people on his show. He has great, compelling conversations. These are substantive ideas and subject matter that is mature and interesting and intelligent. Now, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and even Mayorkas weren't out seeing to the much needed disaster relief effort. They weren't holding meetings around the clock, updating and reporting the media for the sake of the public updates and on the lives of those impacted, either from the White House or from the Situation Room. Now, while Americans were literally drowning, literally dying, and at best surviving or striving to survive, Kamala Harris stopped by the Call Her Daddy podcast to discuss social media status and pandering for votes. Now, of course, Kamala Harris chose this outlet for a reason. Again, this is the second most popular podcast in America. That means there are a whole lot of listeners. There are a whole lot of viewers. She's pandering, of course, to the Gen Z and the feminists. That makes it smart for her. It makes it smart for the campaign to have her on the show, simply for that reason. Some may say that this is yet another attempt for Kamala Harris to avoid answering substantive questions. I mean, no one expected Alex Cooper to question Kamala about the late-term abortions that are here in Minnesota, as supported by her good old buddy and running mate, Tampon Tim. Now, to give you some reference, in case you're like me and have never actually tuned into the Call Her Daddy podcast, and to note, I never will, this is a podcast, like I said, that has a strong female feminist following, mostly Gen Zers, but absolutely feminist, that invites celebrities on to discuss sex and sex acts in the most lewd and tawdry way possible. For reference, it's where Katy Perry boasted of rewarding fiancé Orlando Bloom with oral sex if he's done housework. And Brazilian pop star Anitta and comedian Heather McMahon shared their fellatio tips. Christina Aguilera, who once appeared on the show, referred to herself as a promoter of the swallow on the show. Okay, so this is what the Gen Zers and the feminists are tuning into. This is the second most popular show in America. Okay, this is what they're putting out. This is the kind of show Kamala Harris decided to appear on to answer what I'm sure was really deep questions. She then appeared on The View and Late Night with Colbert. Now, I'm not knocking the appearance on these shows. After all, okay, let's be fair for the sake of fairness. And to be unbiased, Donald Trump has appeared on Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Fox and Friends and all other friendly outlets. But he has also gone into the den of the black journalists and other not so friendly territories where he's faced hard questions and outright disrespect, to be honest with you. Doesn't get any easier than The View or Colbert for Kamala Harris. The administration's indifference and callousness to the communities devastated by these natural disasters, because we now have Milton now to contend with as well. Every day we get a glaring new sign of just how little they care for the citizens who are suffering and who are dying, whether that's from the recent storms or at the hands of criminals, those who are from America but are not held accountable and those who are in our country illegally attacking and killing Americans since this administration has occupied the White House. This is what we've put up with. So after Mayorkas announced that FEMA was out of money, after he announced this summer that wouldn't happen, remember that, don't allow them to memory hole that, he said that FEMA would never, ever run out of money, that it was fully funded and backed by taxpayers. Whoever's running Kamala Harris's social media accounts announced that, and I quote, "We're going to spend $250 million on providing food and shelter and humanitarian assistance. But it's not going to Americans, folks. It's going to foreign lands, and specifically Lebanon. And this is who the Democrats and their supporters want for the next president of the United States. The person who avoids the press and when asked, are Americans better off today than they were 4 years ago? Her answer is, I was brought up in a middle-class family, blah, 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 blah. Now, here's the next Democratic presidential candidate, because I can't call her a nominee because she wasn't actually nominated. Here she is speaking to an audience and the teleprompter goes out and she stumbles and does a piss poor job of speaking off the cuff because she is an empty shell. She is empty headed. And outside of the words that are fed to her, she crumbles. Listen to where she realizes the teleprompter is out.
Remember his number, 32. Today we got 32 days until the election. So 32 days. 32 days. Okay, we got some business to do. We got some business to do. All right. 32 days. And we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end. This is going to be a very tight race until the very end. We are the underdog, and we know we have some hard work ahead.
Did you catch that? Did you catch where the teleprompters clearly went out? And she's absolutely terrified. And now she has to figure out a way to get herself out of that speech. This is who Democrats want to sit in front of Xi Jinping. This is a person they want to send to negotiate in front of Putin. This is the person we're supposed to trust to negotiate and face off with Iranian leaders. This is the person who is supposed to be the best of Americans to represent us around the world. Surely, surely we have better candidates. And I'm telling you, we do. And it's on the Trump fans ticket. Now, when I talk about ineptitude, I can't help but think about the absurd lawsuit that is now happening in North Carolina. It's absolutely mind-boggling how the DOJ is throwing around accusations of racism against a fire department in North Carolina for their hiring practices. So apparently, the idea of evaluating applicants based on qualifications and experience and merit is now considered racist. How do we get to a point where trying to maintain standards and public safety is viewed through such a warped lens? This lawsuit is a prime example of the government overreach that's become all too common. Instead of focusing on actual qualifications that keep our community safe, we have the DOJ, Joe Biden's DOJ, prioritizing social engineering over competence. It's as if they believe that hiring based solely on skin color somehow makes the fire department more inclusive, rather than ensuring that those who respond to emergencies are the best qualified for the job. What's next? Are we going to see lawsuits against police departments for not hiring based on racial quotas instead of actual policing skills? This approach just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't just undermine public safety. It sends a damaging message that qualifications and merit simply doesn't matter anymore. Now, if the goal is to truly create an equitable society, shouldn't we focus on helping individuals build the skills and education necessary to succeed rather than lowering the standards to meet arbitrary diversity quotas? This lawsuit is not only misguided, it's a slap in the face to all those hardworking individuals who strive to achieve their dreams through merit and hard work. Okay, that's, of course, however, the outcome of DEI and critical race theory. Let's hope we can return to a time when qualifications matter more than identity politics. Because in the end, when lives are on the line, what we want are the best responders. We want the most qualified, not just the most diverse ones. And moving on, Donald Trump heads a massive rally in California. With just 23 days left until Election Day and voters already casting ballots, former President Donald Trump railed supporters in the California desert while railing against the state's Democratic leadership, notably his presidential rival, Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, Trump blasted California for having the highest inflation, the highest taxes, the highest gas prices, the highest cost of living, the most regulations, the most expensive utilities, the most homelessness, therefore the most feces, the most crime, the most decay, and the most illegal aliens. Other than that, you're doing quite well, actually, Trump said. We're not going to allow Kamala Harris to do to America what she did to California, he commented. The president, he actually spoke shortly after 5 p.m. on a polo field and California ranch located just outside the city of Coachella. But supporters lined up hours earlier in the scorching desert heat to see the former president, as I would have. And they spent hours in the temperatures that reached 100 degrees. They sought shade in the few spots they could, and large tanks of ice quickly emptied as attendees grabbed fistfuls of cubes and put them under their hats and filled their water bottles. Multiple medical emergencies occurred during the rally, all waiting for the dawn. Trump's visit to the home state of Harris offers him another chance, is what it did. It offered him another chance to bash the liberal policies of the Bay Area, native as well as California itself. One of his favorite refrains on the campaign trail. Now, the Coachella Valley, which is home to a thriving agricultural industry and a large population of Latino farm workers, provides a backdrop for Trump to highlight the region's water and agricultural needs, as well as immigration. Latinos comprise almost 98% of Coachella, according to the U.S. Census. Appropriately identifying California as a sanctuary state, and it is, as he spoke to thousands of supporters, Trump said this: the people of California are not going to take it anymore. With the presidency on the line in battlegrounds like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, Donald Trump spent Saturday night in solidly liberal California, seeking to link Vice President Kamala Harris to what he described as the failures of their home state. Trump is almost certain to lose California, and that won't change after his Saturday stop in Coachella, a desert city east of Los Angeles, best known for its annual music festival bearing its name. Still, Trump took advantage of his visit to tear into the nation's most populous state, bringing up its recent struggle with homelessness, water shortages, and a lack of affordability. Harris, the Democratic nominee, was previously the state's junior senator, as you remember, and attorney general, of course. The point of the stop was to still appear and appeal to the people to rally the support for him and who care about him and care about this country. Getting more people to think and vote differently is really important. He also can still, you know, fundraise from California quite well. Getting California to understand that Kamala Harris is responsible for the state of the lives and the well-beings of Californians, that's important. It was important to do that, referring to the state as the Paradise Lost. Attendees who waited in broiling temperatures that approached 100 degrees said that they didn't expect Trump to win their state, but they were thrilled to see him. And I quote a supporter, "It's like a convention of like-minded people." This was from a supporter named Tom Gibbons of Palm Desert, who backed Trump since 2016, but was unable to see him in person until Saturday. Everybody understands the heartbeat of America, the plight of the working man. It's reassuring. Here's the savage truth of this episode, folks. Every week, as we near the most pivotal election in American history, in my opinion, and in so many others, what the Harris-Walz ticket demonstrates is that however low the bar is with this administration, it can and continues to get lower. Now, as her internal polls numbers continue to plummet, we can expect her to appear on other left-wing friendly shows like Howard Stern and others. Now, as Saturday Night Live now spoofs Kamala Harris for her middle-class family answers to every question, we need to be vigilant, truly vigilant about what we're up against. They're going to cheat. They're going to do whatever they can to try to steal this election. This election isn't won yet. Keep that in mind. Do not say the term red wave. Don't want to hear that. Okay? We need to get out and we need to vote. Do it soon. Do it early and bring many others with you. Stay focused on the win and continue to apply the sticky on the Biden-Harris outcomes to those who remained undecided. Make sure they are reminded that Trump cannot be the blame as he has been 4 years removed. And they wanted to defund the police. They wanted to allow boys and girls sports and in bathrooms and locker rooms and sororities, etc. They allowed healthy breasts and testicles to be removed from children. They got tampons in the boys' bathrooms and removed school resource officers from schools, rendering our children without the needed protection. The border czar, as deemed by her boss, allowed millions upon millions of illegals into the country and continued to do so, allowing them debit cards, EBT cards, driver's licenses, the right to health care and housing, and worse yet, the right to vote. As many of them have assaulted, they've raped and killed Americans. They have erased accountability and disregarded the rule of law, holding those who have the right to protect themselves liable for that righted protection against those who have violated their safety rights. Gas, groceries, housing, and energy bills are out of control, and inflation hit a 40-year high under this administration. Stick it to Kamala. That's who it belongs to. I could go on and on. And that is the savage tragedy of this administration. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, they have done in the last 3.5 years to make Americans' lives better. And we have the power to stop them and turn this exceptional ship around. Do it now and do it early. We still have the power and can stand up for our country and for its future. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.